back, steps up, heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone, and Mix makes the catch for the touchdown. He went up with the big hands and caught it on the Hail Mary.
Boots one, returnable for Williams from his own 20. Lost the ball, and the Giants say they have it. They do.
Devin Thomas recovered it, but the rookie Jaquan Williams punched it out.
Manning out of the shotgun set, he's back to throw. Finds the pocket. Deep ball down the left sideline, and it's going to be caught. Was he inbounds?
Yes. Manningham on the sideline.
Brady's under pressure. Brady's chased. Brady heaves one down the middle of the field into the end zone. A jump ball, and it's incomplete, and the ball game's over, and the Giants have won Super Bowl 46.
Now, here's your host, Lance Meadow.
And welcome to Wednesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live here on Giants.com. So glad you could join us as we are right into the heart of free agency, taking your phone calls over the next 60 minutes at 201-939-4513. You can also use hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter, and you can follow and interact with me directly at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. So let's go over some news and notes, and then we'll get right to your phone calls, because I know we have a number of people already on the lines. In terms of what is official, the Giants have waived center David Boss, so he is no longer on the team, and they will be looking for other options at the center position moving forward. They have re-signed safety Stevie Brown, who missed all of last season with the torn ACL after a breakout 2012 campaign when he was extremely opportunistic and was a ball hawk. They've also re-signed kicker Josh Brown. So that's official. Then there's the reports, which I'm going to emphasize. We could talk about it. We could bring it up. But nothing is official as of right now. There are reports that they have added three free agents. They have added former Seahawks linebacker O'Brien Schofield, who's been primarily a backup during the course of his career, started his career with the Arizona Cardinals, and has been a special teamer. Jeff Schwartz, Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman, who has played both guard and tackle, an extremely versatile offensive lineman, who helped the Chiefs post an 11-5 record last season after they were 2-14 2 years ago. And he's one of the most highly ranked guards that was on the market prior to the start of free agency. This is going to be his fourth team in as many years. Lastly, Rashad Jennings, the Oakland Raiders running back, who put up some quality numbers at MetLife Stadium against the Giants this past season, thrived in the starting role with Darren McFadden being hurt last year. So Jennings now has an opportunity to make some noise in the Giants' backfield. He had a career high in carries and yards in terms of rushing last season. Prior to that, with Oakland, he was Maurice Jones-Drew's backup with the Jacksonville Jaguars. So those are all reports. Until they become official, the Giants obviously are not commenting on that, but you have an opportunity to weigh in on those signings, as well as the three officials, which are Stevie Brown and Josh Brown being re-signed and David Boss being cut. 201-939-4513 is the telephone number. 201-939-4513. Lance Meadow with you here for the next 60 minutes. Looking forward to interacting with Giants fans. This is the best time in the NFL offseason. This is when the activity never ends. And the Giants have been extremely active, as have the other 31 teams. Let's hear your reactions. And we open up the lines and we start with Adam in Union City, Georgia. Adam, what's happening? Welcome to the program.
How you doing, John?
It's Lance. Adam, what you got?
Oh, Lance, how you doing? I'm sorry.
Doing very well. John is on assignment today, but it's okay. I've been called worse. No problem.
No problem. I'm a big time Giants fan. I'm truly excited about all the moves they made so far. First off, with Rashad Jennings, I'm a big fan of his. I play fantasy football, so I know he puts up a lot of yards last year. And with the offensive lineman, Jeff Schwartz, I think the Giants is addressing their needs. I mean, they're showing the fans that they're really not playing no games with, you know, showing what they need to do to get this team better.
Well, the offensive line was priority number one, Adam. As you know, they had their fair share of issues this past season. Eli Manning was sacked a career worst number of times. He was running for his life, and they had numerous injuries on the offensive line, and they couldn't just look to the draft as the only way to address those issues. So bringing in, reportedly, a veteran offensive lineman who you can move to guard and tackle gives them a tremendous amount of versatility. If you look at a guy like Kevin Booth, who's been here the last few seasons, and he is a free agent, the reason why he has value is because you can plug him in at center. You can plug him in at guard. God forbid there's another injury, and I think Schwartz is the type of guy that can allow the Giants to do that again.
Exactly. And I was checking out some YouTube highlights of the linebacker they got, the O'Brien kid, and he looks extremely athletic and fast, and I think Jerry Reese might have a steal on his hands with this kid. And I know he's only like 26 years old, I believe. So with that and the re-signing of Tremaine McBride and Stevie Brown, I think those were really good pickups that they needed to sign those guys back. And I would love the Giants to, you know, obviously get another center, being that they cut David Box. And how do you feel about the Giants signing Emmanuel Sanders as another wide receiver?
Well, it depends right now how the rest of free agency plays out and what happens with the wide receiver core. That's still up in the air. I think Emmanuel Sanders has been a productive receiver with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I don't know if I necessarily would put him at the top of the list in terms of a guy coming in to fill a void. Because remember, the Giants also need to find a new tight end now that Brandon Myers has gone to Tampa Bay. Linville Joseph left for the Minnesota Vikings. Ryan Mundy left for the Chicago Bears. And they have plenty of depth at safety. But there's a lot of other needs across the board. The wide receiver market has not been very active right now over the first day or so, mainly because I think a lot of teams have learned their lessons based on what happened with Mike Wallace. He got a big contract, if you recall, last offseason. So they're really starting to see how the market's going to be set there, and that will dictate how things play out moving forward. So if a guy like Emmanuel Sanders would work from a financial standpoint, he could certainly fill a need, but I don't think that that's priority number one right now for the New York Giants.
Okay, I got you. Well, I know they need to tie it in, and I was thinking about trying to get Ed Dixon from the Ravens. I think I know that there have been reports saying they're looking at Andrew Corliss and Jermichael Finley, but Andrew Corliss, I haven't seen enough footage on him to get a good gauge of how what kind of player he's going to be. But with Ed Dixon, I've seen enough film on him to know that he can stretch the field and he's athletic enough and he's young enough to be a decent bargain for the Giants.
Well, both tight ends that you mentioned, and Adam, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in this morning. Ed Dixon, former Raven, Andrew Corliss from the Green Bay Packers. Ben McAdoo clearly has some experience working with Corliss, and he was the one that came in to replace Jermichael Finley when he went down with that neck injury. And he's a two-way tight end. He's a guy that'll block, and he's a guy that'll go out and catch passes. And Ed Dixon's the same thing. The key for the Giants, no matter what tight end they bring in, has got to be a dual threat. It has to be a player that is going to be able to win the battle in the trenches and serve as that extra offensive lineman and also be able to extend the length of the field. So, you know, that is the key for the Giants. Both of those players, to me, address those qualities. But once again, it's all about a numbers game. Hasn't been a lot of movement for tight ends, mainly because there's not a great deal of depth at the tight end spot. Brandon Myers already was locked up. Outside of that, you haven't seen a lot of guys move around across the NFL landscape. So I think the Giants are probably exploring their needs, assessing the situation. And the two guys that Adam just laid out, I don't think you need to break open the piggy bank to bring in. But it's all a matter of whether or not they're a good fit. Corliss is attractive, as I mentioned, because of his familiarity with the Green Bay Packers system. And don't get me wrong, the Giants are not duplicating what the Packers have done from an offensive standpoint just because McAdoo has taken over as offensive coordinator. But the fact that he knows that talent bodes well because he's going to work with all of the offensive positional players. And they need a tight end that is going to be able to get down and dirty at the offensive line and also run out and get passes. And Corliss has proven that as he's moved up the depth chart with respect to the Green Bay Packers system. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513 on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat. You can also follow and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. Let's head back to the lines. We got Dean in Connecticut. Dean, what's happening?
Morning, Lance. What's going on?
Doing well, Dean. How about yourself? What you got this morning?
Hey, not bad. I mean, where do I start? I just wanted to say that I'm glad that Jerry Reese is making moves so early into free agency. I'm really excited to see that he didn't wait like he usually does. With the O'Brien Schofield signing, I'm a little baffled. I know you said they didn't make anything official yet, but I was reading reports that it is 2 years, $8 million. I don't know if you heard anything about that.
Well, I've heard all the reports that you've been throwing out. And, you know, as you know, since the Giants have not made anything official, I can't comment on any specifics. I can address the fact that there are reports out there. And what you're reading, I'm seeing, too. And I'll let you continue here in a second, Dean. All I can say is that, to me, this is a potential signing. And I think Adam, our previous caller, alluded to that. It may not look like a guy that's going to jump off the page from a name perspective, but it's a guy that I think doesn't have a lot of mileage on his legs, has a knack for getting to the quarterback for the limited time that he's been on the field, and can be moved around at various linebacker spots. I think they see him right now on the strong side and also played on the defensive line during his collegiate days at Wisconsin. So there's a lot of moving and matching that they can do with respect to him. But I understand where there may be some skepticism from the Giants fan base, because he's not a guy, when you look at his box score, that it's like, wow, this guy has really put up respectable numbers.
Yeah, that's what I was going to touch on. I was looking through his statistics. I did a little research. I mean, he did 3 years in Arizona, last year with Seattle. I think he recorded only 7 total tackles last year. But throughout his four-year career, he's registered 11 and a half sacks.
Correct.
As a situational guy, as a backup, that's pretty intriguing in the sense that if we do, and I hope, and I'm crossing my fingers, re-sign Beeson, that's my biggest thing right now. Putting this kid on the outside, rushing the quarterback with Beeson in there to stop the run, I mean, I'm excited to see that. But what I really want to see is the contract situations with Schwartz and Jennings, when it does official, I want to see what kind of money Reese is spending and see if he's really serious.
Well, the Giants coming in have a lot more flexibility than they did at this point last offseason. If you recall, Dean, they handed out a lot of one-year contracts because, number one, they didn't want to sacrifice the future of the team, which turned out to be a good move, even though the results were not great last season. And also, they wanted to put themselves in a position where they could be the aggressors during the course of this offseason. So right now, they've been aggressive. They've been assessing the situation. And the three reported signings fill needs, and that's the key, because the Giants have a lot of needs heading into this offseason. You needed to add depth in the running game, given the injury concerns with David Wilson. The offensive line, it goes without saying. And linebacker, remember, last offseason, heading into training camp, they had an open competition. They had 6 linebackers for 3 spots. Nobody was penciled in. And I think it's going to be a similar circumstance heading into this offseason. It doesn't hurt to have a lot of bodies to help draw up the competition. That's never a bad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Reese's primary objective, his mindset going into this, is let me address as many spots as I can in free agency. So going into the draft, we can do the normal Giants thing and go after the best available player. I would really love to see them go after a center in free agency, just so I see, look, at Schwartz, he could play guard, he could play tackle. He's very versatile. We can go in and maybe get an Evan Dietrich Smith or a premier center. I mean, we can shore up from the center over at least one side of the line, go into the draft, and if Ebron could fall, Justin Gilbert falls, we could jump all over him. I mean, that's what I'm excited to see.
Well, the goal is to approach the draft basically with the mindset, okay, we've been aggressive during free agency. These are the holes we still have left. And like you said, also keep in mind, don't reach for guys in round one and round two. Go for the best guys on the board, which has been the Giants' philosophy all along. And I think that's how things are going to play out. I agree with you, Dean, and appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for weighing in this morning, that John Beeson should be a high priority. And from what I've read, from what I've seen, I haven't seen a great deal of interest, or at least reports where teams are knocking down doors to get Beeson, which may be a good thing with respect for the Giants. We knew heading in that Tuck and Beeson were going to have opportunities to test the market. Jerry Reese made that clear. He felt that they have an opportunity and they deserve to test the market. And as John and I have laid out over the last few weeks, from their perspectives, You know, why would they want to lock themselves into a contract when they can explore, perhaps through their agents and reps, what else is out there? That's the name of the game. That's how the NFL works. It's a business first. You don't give out deals based on emotions, because that's wind up coming back to haunt you. So right now, nothing is necessarily coming back to haunt the Giants. Tuck and Beeson are looking out there, see if there's any interest. But the Giants are very much in play for both of those players. And Beeson, the impact goes without saying, what he had on this team last year from a leadership perspective and from a game-changing aspect. And they need a middle linebacker. They need somebody. It's been basically a revolving door, a game of musical chairs, since they lost Antonio Pierce. Chase Blackburn came in, helped provide some stability, but did not prove to be a long-term answer. Beeson, if you lock him up and his injuries are behind him, he could very well be a long-term answer. But it's got to work from a financial perspective. It's got to work for both sides. 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We got Mike in Dallas. Mike, what's happening?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Doing well, Mike. What you got?
Well, a couple things. I like what we did. I'm still kind of worried about center. Is the Green Bay guy still in big play for the Giants?
Dietrich Smith is still out there. I'm sure he's receiving a great deal of interest from what I heard from numerous teams. Brian De La Puente from the New Orleans Saints is another guy that's out there. There's numerous centers, but Dietrich Smith is certainly a player of interest for the New York Giants. And now that David Boss has officially been released, they are definitely looking into who's out there on the market. And if they can't work something out, the draft is always a possibility. And here's another one to keep in mind, Mike. Kevin Booth, you can bring him back, and he can play the center position. He knows the system, he has experience, and he could also serve as a backup guard. So there are multiple options to at least look at in the next coming days and weeks.
And something I was kind of concerned about is I just saw Carlos Dansby got a pretty big contract. How is that going to affect us with our middle linebacker, with Beeson?
Well, that's a great point that you bring up, Mike. Anything that happens with any other teams at a position that the Giants need to bring back or they need to go out and sign, it sets the tone of the market. And Dansby got a deal that Mike is just referring to, signed with the Cleveland Browns after he had a breakout campaign at age 33 with the Arizona Cardinals following a good season with the Dolphins. And I believe his contract was 4 years, $24 million. So he got a deal in the ballpark of about six a year. That's certainly going to impact what John Beeson is going to ask for, because Beeson is looking out there in the market and he's saying, okay, well, this linebacker is 33. I'm X amount of years. I've put up these numbers. He put up these numbers. Any smart agent is going to look out there. Same thing with the corners, Mike. A lot of corners have been taken off the market. One guy, Aqib Talib, we're looking at $9 million a year, and then the deal that Alteron Verner got where there wasn't a lot of guaranteed money reportedly. So, you know, everybody who waits can at least turn to other contracts and other players that have been taken off the board. So that's a great point.
But
I'm sure the Dansby is going to have an impact with how other linebackers approach free agency.
But did that one just to kind of inflate the market big time? Because that's what it kind of seemed like. That one just really inflated the market.
Well, it could very well raise the price for linebackers. I would agree with you. Personally, Dansby, to me, has proven that he can be a consistent guy regardless of his age. So to a certain extent, the Browns are not necessarily looking at it where he had one breakout year. If you go back to his year with the Dolphins prior to that, he was still putting up decent numbers. The question is, can he continue to repeat that? That certainly is risk involved, but it's not as if Dansby came out of nowhere. He's been doing this time and time again, even though he's been getting up there in age. $6 million, that tends to be a lot of money for linebackers, but it's all about how the market is set, and the Giants don't have control over that. You know, they can be irritated and say to Cleveland, hey, Cleveland, you didn't do us any favors. But all it takes is one team to want a guy, be willing to shell out additional money, and then all of a sudden it's a domino effect the rest of the way.
Well, I was reading this morning that Beeson actually has a lot of interest from Denver. They say that, you know, that Beeson's pretty big on their radar. Other than that, you know, what tight ends are we pursuing at this moment? Are we pursuing any?
I don't know of any by name that the Giants are aggressively going after. It's not a tight end group that is extremely deep. I'm sure you may have seen some reports of guys that are out there on the market. We talked about earlier in the program Andrew Corliss because of his ties to Ben McAdoo, Ed Dixon, who was brought up by Adam earlier. Outside of that, you got Brandon Pettigrew, who was with the Lions. But after that, it's players that were involved in some injuries. Scott Chandler from the Buffalo Bills is a free agent, but he's coming off an injury. So, you know, there's risk involved in a lot of tight ends. I think the Giants are going to take their time because there's no point to bringing in a guy unless you do your homework and you know that he's going to block and he's going to go out and receive.
All right. Well, free agents should be interesting. And where are we sitting at with the salary cap if all these players have been signed?
Well, the Giants still have a great deal of flexibility, and Mike, appreciate the phone call. They came in with flexibility in the ballpark, I want to say, in the mid-20s. So, you know, by signing some of these new players and by re-signing some of their old players, it's not as if all of a sudden they've broken up the piggy bank and they're in a situation where they don't have a great deal of flexibility. I can't give you an exact number because nothing's been official yet. No financial details have been released, so it's hard to look at it from the perspective, okay, the Giants have X amount of dollars left. But big picture perspective, they still have flexibility. They have not put themselves in a position where all of a sudden they've got chump change and they're not going to be able to pursue any other free agents. Right now, it's basically a game of speculation. A number of you have been sending in some tweets, and I want to address that too as we continue to take your phone calls here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Lance Meadow with you. So glad you could join us this morning. We're talking about NFL free agency, and it has gotten underway, and the Giants are extremely active. Let's take a look at some of the tweets here. M. Olin 77. So far, Schwartz and Jennings signings seem logical, as well as the re-signings at a reasonable price. And the bottom line is, a lot of it is based on need and quality. Jennings had a great season with the Oakland Raiders. Jeff Schwartz, highly ranked guard with Kansas City, and you can move him and match him. So on the surface, I think MLon 77 basically echoes most of the sentiments that Giants fans are thinking right now. AC Sibeli, I really think if we could get Jones and one more running back, it would be a good offense and draft a cornerback or a tight end. Well, the corners are starting to fall off the board, the big names. And there's been a lot of money thrown out that way. So I would think if you want to beef up your cornerback depth chart, the draft is probably the most logical area to go. And depending on how the Giants look at the free agent market for a tight end, the draft may be the way to go with respect to that position too. Keep in mind, they also have options that are currently on the roster. I know they've had injury concerns, such as a guy like Adrian Robinson, and it's all about potential, and the clock is ticking. But there are some internal options who may take on larger roles moving forward. Keith Odom, it looks like John Beeson is out, and a rookie in the draft is in at middle linebacker. Let's look at Woodyard, referring to Wesley Woodyard, who is with the Denver Broncos, who is going to have an opportunity to test the market. Well, first of all, John Beeson's not out. Now, that's premature to say that. There has been no official signing for John Beeson. The Giants are very much in play for John Beeson. So anybody who's saying that John Beeson is not going to return to the Giants, that's pure speculation. There's no substance to that report at all. And I know our previous caller, Mike, said that he read reports that Beeson is receiving interest from the Denver Broncos. The Broncos have been extremely active. They brought in Aqib Talib. They brought in T.J. Ward from the Cleveland Browns. There's reports that they have interest in DeMarcus Ware, who was just let go of the Cowboys. Broncos are in a position where the window's closing with Peyton Manning, so they want to bring the defense up to the level of where the offense has performed the last few seasons, and they feel that they can continually compete for a Super Bowl. So I don't blame them. They're spending money. John Elway and John Fox are very aggressive, and I'm sure they may take a look at John Beeson. Keep in mind, Beeson was with the Carolina Panthers. John Fox has ties to the Panthers, so it makes sense from that, but that doesn't mean that he's definitely going there. There's a lot of teams that are going to take an interest in John Beeson. Why? Because the guy is a difference maker, and the guy proved that he's fully healthy. So you can't blame everybody else for pursuing that. Mike Farmer, who chimes in a lot on our conversations, seeing reports of Tuck going to visit Oakland is really surprising to me. Didn't think he would consider a team like that. It's all about the market. I think Justin Tuck at this point is seeing what's out there. And once again, that doesn't mean that the Giants are not bringing back Justin Tuck. Just because a guy goes on a visit doesn't mean anything is signed on the dotted line. Oakland has a lot of money, keep in mind, too. They are actually the top of the rankings coming in to free agency. A lot of spending money. And they lost a lot of players yesterday. They lost their starting left tackle, Jared Veld here. They lost their top pass rusher in Lamar Houston, who signed with the Bears. And they just lost Rashad Jennings, who is reportedly coming to the New York Giants. Let's head back to the lines at 201-939-4513. Dominic is in Pennsylvania. Dominic, what's happening?
All right. How you guys doing? I just wanted to, you know, I just wanted to caution everybody. You know, we have to always take into consideration the John Beeson situation. You know, the money situation. We still have to, you know, seal up the outside linebacker position as well. So I think, you know, if the pickup is finalized with, forget the guy's name, O'Brien, is it O'Brien?
O'Brien Schofield.
Yeah, Schofield. I think that would be good if he has a speed. I mean, I haven't done any research on the speed, but, you know, I think that's a good thing. But we definitely need somebody, you know, on the other side, sealing up the other side of the field on defense. My thing is, I am definitely happy if we pick up Jeff Schwartz, because he seems like, you know, all the research that I've really done on him. He's definitely, you know, he's 6'6", 340 pounds. And those are the type of, you know, size players I think we've been missing on the line, you know. And, you know, I know that he's, you know, I hear reports that running into him is like running into a brick wall. So I like to hear things like that. As far as the tight end position, you know, I'm a little nervous about that. Like, you know, I hear everybody talking about, you know, Adrian Robinson, but what is it that the guy, you know, I just haven't seen enough of him. You know, he hasn't gotten enough snaps or anything like that, but it's just he makes me nervous that he lost out a starting position to somebody like Brandon Myers. I mean, I know Brandon Myers had more snaps, and, you know, he led the AFC in receptions the previous season, but, you know, I'm not comfortable with Adrian Robinson at the tight end position. So is there any reports of, you know, any tight ends that we're currently looking at?
There's nothing of substance to answer your question right now, Dominic, where I could tell you that they're aggressively pursuing this tight end. I threw out a few names, Brandon Pettigrew, Andrew Corliss, Ed Dixon, who are appealing because they're guys that at least can serve as dual threats. But, you know, keep in mind, just because they're out there and just because the Giants have a need doesn't mean that you go out there and you go on a spending spree and you bring them in. You know, you got to evaluate whether or not they're a good fit for the system, would they fit into the vision that Ben McAdoo has for this offense, and whether or not they're injury prone, and whether or not you think at the 12th spot in the first round you may be able to get somebody in the draft. So, you know, all those questions need to be thrown out there and asked before you just say, all right, let's go out there and sign somebody just because we need a tight end. To answer your question about Adrian Robinson, he was late arriving to the scene because he graduated from Cincinnati late. So that put him behind the eight ball when he came into camp as a rookie, and he was trying to digest the playbook. Now, I'm not still making excuses about that. Last year, he still had a full offseason and so forth. But injuries sidelined him. He wasn't practicing. And as you know with other Giants, if you're not practicing, the coaching staff can't evaluate you. So the key for Adrian Robinson, he's got to stay healthy. You know, these players, they go out there, they make an impact, they need to stay healthy, they need to build upon that. We jokingly always bring up Ramsey's Barden, and the reason I'm going to bring him back to the forefront, Barden had a game against Carolina, if you recall, and then he gets hurt, mm-hmm. and then doesn't build upon that. So what good are having these guys in the mix? They need to go out there, and they need to show consistency. He hasn't done that yet. So he can't be a reliable option as the only guy that's going to fill the void left behind by Brandon Myers. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that you go out and you overpay for another tight end just because you have a glaring need right now.
Right. And then one more thing I wanted to add. You know, I don't hear anybody making mention of how Spencer Paysinger really stepped up last season. You know, I think that, you know, there needs to be more said about him playing a linebacker position. I mean, I think he really stepped up from special teams. And, you know, I wanted to be the first one to say that his performance is not going unnoticed. So I'd like to know, if you know, how you guys feel about Spencer Paysinger.
Well, I think Paysinger was certainly a guy that contributed on special teams. And Dominic, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much for chiming in. And he's a player that the Giants value. And he'll be in the mix within the linebacking core again. He's not guaranteed to necessarily get a starting job. He started out that way last season, but then when they brought in Beeson and other guys emerged, the Giants are always looking to put the best talent out there. But players who can give you a little bit of everything and can contribute in multiple facets of a team, meaning they can be an offensive player, a special teams player, or a defensive player and a special teams player, to me, have greater value because you kill two birds with one stone. For example, if you bring in a wide receiver who can also be a special team or a kickoff returner or a punt returner, there's value to that. Because then you don't have to go out and sign another guy and eat up a roster spot on your 53. So Pacinger's a guy that fits into that mold where you're bringing him in, he'll give you something on defense, but he'll also be a guy that you can rely on special teams. And you need that. You need those players. Stevie Brown was that type of player. Will Hill, that type of player, where you're not just getting contributions in one area. You're getting contributions across the board. As long as these players stay healthy, there's room for them to contribute. So Pacinger's a guy that doesn't get a great deal of attention. You know, Chase Blackburn, to me, was another one of those type of players. He was a guy that he wasn't jumping off the page. If you ask the casual NFL fan, they have no idea who he is. But he's going to put his head down. He's going to study the playbook. He's going to give you leadership. He's going to give you special teams. And he's going to do the things that don't necessarily always show up in the box score. And every team needs some of those guys. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the phone lines. You can also chime in on Twitter at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. And we go to Pierre in Dallas. Pierre, welcome to the program. What you got?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to chime in, give an NFC East update. Though this is a Giants big move. But I want to first apologize to Mike Former out there. I called in last week and said, oh, no, they're not going to ever get rid of Ware. Well, they did. So, you know, just wanted to apologize to him about that.
Well, I'm glad you did that because we don't usually pat Mike Former on the back too much on this program. So anytime that our callers can fill the void, we certainly appreciate the help here.
Yeah. But this is the thing. Now, all is not lost. Could still re-sign him because Ware's not worth $16 million a year. He knows that. Now, just like you said earlier with another caller about another player, all it takes is one team to jack the market up. And so, I mean, in Dallas, we could have retained him if we wanted him back. But, you know, it's still a possibility to get him back. Now, I want to caution all the Giants fans that all is not lost with Dallas, okay? We still could – we still have Crawford coming back, Ben Bass, one of the, maybe even two, Spencer and Hatcher, and then Josh Brent may even come back from the, you know, the incident with the drunk driving thing, and then a draft, maybe, you know, a pick in the draft. But I'll say this, you know, everybody will bash Jerry Jones for doing what he did, but we have been the most consistent team in the NFC East. I mean, we've been there at the end every year for the last 3 years trying to get this NFC East title. So don't jump on us just yet. If you all are like me and like football, and it doesn't matter what team you're following, and especially when it's the NFC East opponent, some of the Giants fans, you can get on CBS 11 Dallas and go to 105.3 The Fan. That's the official site of the Dallas Cowboys. That's where you get all the, you know, NFL Network, get all of their breaking news out of Dallas.
You know, Pierre, we can only promote so many entities out of Dallas in one program. You're pressing your limits here. I mean, I don't want to give too much love to that.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I'm saying is if your fans are like me, you know, you want to keep up with your foes and your opponents, you can go there and you can get that information because that's where all the breaking news comes out of Dallas. And, you know, ESPN and all those guys follow that show right there. It's 11 o'clock. It's the G-Back Nation, man.
Well, Pierre, I certainly appreciate that. What else you got before I let you go, though?
That's it, brother. I just wanted to – oh, and Nita Pickering, he's on Twitter. He's always giving me big ups, and I appreciate that.
Not a problem. All right, Pierre, appreciate the phone call. Pierre laying out all of the – networks, radio affiliates, TV affiliates in Dallas, Texas. So for those of you who may live in the area, certainly you now have a whole channel guide thanks to Pierre in Dallas, who always likes to spice things up on Big Blue Kickoff Live here this morning on Giants.com. Lance Meadow with you. He was referring to the fact that the Cowboys parted ways with DeMarcus Ware, and I'm sure the Giants are not complaining about that, given that he's been a guy that has wreaked havoc as a pass rusher. And there's reports that he is now testing the market, and Denver is showing a great deal of interest. And I don't want to get into the Cowboys too much, but Dallas certainly needs to address its defensive line. Pierre was throwing out guys like Jason Hatcher, who I read reports that the Seahawks are showing interest. Anthony Spencer, they gave the franchise tag to a season ago, and he got hurt. So, you know, they have a lot of players that they need to juggle around. But right now, we're here to focus on the New York Giants and the task at hand for them. In case you're just joining us, just to review before we get back to the lines, what is official at this point? Stevie Brown and Josh Brown have both been re-signed. David Boss has been cut. In terms of the reports, nothing official yet. They are bringing in former Seahawks linebacker O'Brien Schofield, Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman Jeff Schwartz, who could play guard and tackle, and Raiders running back Rashad Jennings. So that's what is in play right now. I'm reading a number of your tweets at hashtag Giants Chat. You could also chime in and interact with me at Lance Meadow, one word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. And a lot of you are mentioning you're reading reports that Tuck is meeting with this team and that team. That's natural at this point. That's expected. This is the time where you visit. But once again, all of this is purely speculation. Just because a player visits somewhere doesn't mean that there's a contract in play and doesn't mean anybody has signed the deal. And if you read the same thing about Beeson, once again, it doesn't mean anything is official. The only players that the Giants have officially lost, Ryan Mundy has signed with the Chicago Bears. Linval Joseph is with the Minnesota Vikings. And Brandon Myers is headed to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Those are the three main guys that were on the market and have signed elsewhere. Everybody else right now certainly still in play. Let's head back to the lines at 201-939-4513. And here's where the program heads to a whole other level. A guy that I have not had an opportunity to speak to in a while. Len is in Columbia. Len, what's happening?
Well, thanks for the compliment, Lance. Good to talk to you.
Same here, Len.
Appreciate that.
How are you doing?
And I feel good, good, good. Really good. Really good. Excited. I think we got better yesterday. You know, Schwartz is arguably our second best lineman right now. Jennings is a starting running back. We can talk about Schofield a little bit as we go along here, but even with our own free agent signings, you know, Brown, both Browns, and Tremaine McBride, you know, good signings. I think we had a good, good first day. I don't think we can afford to lose Linville, Justin Tuck, and John Beeson. That not only would be a disaster on the field, but God, it would be a public relations disaster. And let's not get too uppity in the front office here and think that what the fans think don't count. Doesn't count. That would be a public relations disaster. We got to sign these guys, or at least one of them. We got to sign one of those next too. We can't afford to lose all three of those guys. Again, production on the field will be hampered, and boy, man, it'd be tough to justify if that happens. What I wanted to start out for, and you calmed me down a little bit, I feel so good today that I got my update on the Dallas Cowboys. And, you know, thank you, Pierre, for
hey,
that.
Hey, we do
that
everything that we can on this program. And I know people are blowing up on Twitter that I should have hung up on the guy 2 seconds in. First of all, Pierre calls in more often than not. It's not like this guy's out of the blue.
Yeah. No, I know. I've heard him before.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. All I want to say is, without mentioning last names, Pat probably would have hung up on him.
Sure.
Hey,
listen.
Hey, it's your show, Lance. So you get to do it, and you do a great job.
And I appreciate that.
I respect that. But I got to tell you, being next after that was a tough listen. I kept thinking here, oh, my gosh, don't
explode.
Well,
see, that's why
Len.
We brought
Calm
you
down.
Back on, Len, so you could steer us back on the right course. Now we don't have to talk about the Cowboys.
There you go.
Back to the Giants.
Listen, isn't it interesting that after free agency started, the first tight end off the board after free agency started, I knew Graham went earlier and Pitta went earlier, was Brandon Myers. Well, all the criticism and the first tight end off the board is is Brandon Myers. Pretty interesting.
Well, but Len, maybe that's basically an indication that the tight end group is not that deep. That's why I'm continuing to say that. If Brandon Myers is one of the first guys off the board, and Giants fans, I don't need to rehash what happened this past season, then it just goes to show you why the Giants shouldn't go out and throw money at anybody.
Yeah, okay, I agree. Now, you know, on the Schofield signing, if indeed it is a signing, and again, it would be great to see the numbers, and you can do, you know, quick arithmetic as your first caller did, 2 years, $8 million, $4 million a year, but it probably plays out a little differently than that. But, you know, that's I don't want to say it's strange, but, you know, it does open up a question. you know, he starts at Arizona. How does he get from Arizona to Seattle? Did he get cut in Arizona?
Yes, he did.
He got cut by Arizona, and he only played 1 year up in Seattle. And, you know, one thing to I have this feeling about, you know, picking up other players from other teams. We're not going to beat Seattle picking up guys that they're willing to let go.
Well, he was a free agent. I know that's a tremendous
linebacking crew at Seattle, but you know you're not going to beat Seattle with ex-Seattle players. You got to go get people that are better than what they've got. And let's hope Schofield is that. You know, let's hope it works out that way.
Wait a minute, Len. Let me play devil's advocate here, because a common phrase that you threw out all offseason, and correct me if I'm wrong, you said, listen, the Giants don't have to worry about beating the Jacksonville Jaguars. They got to worry about beating the Redskins. They got to worry about beating the Eagles or the Cowboys. So, listen, task at hand first is beat your competition in the NFC East. Then worry about the Seattle Seahawks. So I wouldn't get overly concerned about bringing in guys just to knock off Seattle.
You're absolutely correct if you take what I said directly to Seattle, but I believe that about anybody you bring in. If a team is willing to let somebody go, you know, particularly a backup player on your team, you know, I don't know how good it is to be signing those kinds of guys. We got to get better. We got to get frontline players, and I think we did. Yes, I think it's a good draft, and we must have had a line on Schofield from as far back as when he came out of college. I mean, you don't sign a guy in the first 12 hours of free agency, Lance, unless you really wanted that guy.
That's a good point.
I mean, even Tampa Bay with Myers, that didn't dawn on them at 6 o'clock last night. They must have had their eye on Brandon Myers and how he'd fit that system and what Lovie wants to do down there. And I think that's true of any signing. And I think the Giants probably had a line on this guy from as far back as college, even when he came out of Wisconsin.
Well, I was doing some homework, and when he came out of Wisconsin, he was hurt. So his stock in the draft fell. But a lot of people said at the time he would have been actually first-round value, and he wound up falling to the fourth round. So like you said, the Giants do their homework for every draft class. They keep that on file, and then clearly they revisit these things based on how they perform and when they hit the market.
And if I remember correctly, Lance, he didn't get hurt during his senior year, during the season. I think he got hurt postseason. He may have gone to, you know, one of the All-Star games, and it was pretty close. I mean, you know, that's back, you know, remember the draft was in April. It was, you know, there was only kind of a two-month turnaround, and people looked at it and said, you know, that's a pretty serious injury. So he didn't get hurt early in the senior year. He got hurt in the postseason playing in the All-Star game.
Correct.
And he wound up tearing
his ACL, by the way. That was the injury.
Yeah, pretty serious. But, I mean, you know, I checked with way back in January. I ran a list off of RotoWorld, and they actually had this guy who I'd never heard of him. I vaguely remember him with Arizona, but not I didn't know too much about him. I think I got caught up in the name more than anything else. O'Brien Schofield, pretty interesting. Two last names. He's got a
correct.
You know, one.
Very unique. It'll be fun. It rolls right
off
the tongue.
Very unique name, but RotoWorld had this guy listed as the fifth best outside free agent linebacker. I mean, that's pretty high. I mean, the guys in front of him were, you know, the guy in Pittsburgh, Warlitz, who got franchised. I mean, there's some big players in front of him that had this guy as number five, and I just realized that when I went back to that list last night. But, you know, interestingly enough, you know who they had listed as number eight free agent outside linebackers? Keith Rivers.
Interesting.
Keith Rivers, kind of interesting. You know, we downplay Rivers' contributions, but I think Rivers is maybe a little better thought of than a lot of Giants fans. I kind of think he would fit in. I wasn't worried. I think we had a need there, but it was down the list in terms of what our needs were, linebacker, that, you know, as at that position. But listen, we had a good first day. We got some players, even our own players that we re-signed. I felt good about it. I'm going to give Jerry the benefit of the doubt on Schofield. Let's go have a big second day. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. We got to, you know, at least one of the two, Beeson or Tuck, or, you know. boy, the sweat's going to start pouring off.
Well, listen,
if we don't
sit
get
back
that.
On the rocking chair on the porch, Len. Monitor Roto World. Listen, you've got the good life at this point. So I would.
I
got
to tell you, there's nothing like technology to bring you up to date. Len.
There you go.
Unbelievable.
Len, appreciate
the
phone call.
Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Not
a
problem. Right. Good speaking with Len in Maryland. Number of you continuing to chime in on Twitter, and I'm seeing also some tweets from some of the NFL insiders, and Adam Schefter just tweeted that Rams free agent guard Shelly Smith is visiting the Giants today, and a number of you have also asked a question about Jacoby Jones from the Baltimore Ravens, and there have been reports also circulating that he will be visiting the Giants, and Jacoby Jones is the type of guy that can serve as a wide receiver, and he can also be a special teamer. And that is an area that the Giants need to boost as well, the return game, which is something that was not crisp this past offseason, and that may be putting it kindly. 201-939-4513. Rodney is in Canada. Rodney, what's happening? Rodney, if you can lower your computer, we're getting some feedback. You got to listen through just your phone. I can hear myself on the return, and clearly I love hearing my own voice. But, Rodney, we're going to put you back on hold. When we go back to you, you've got to listen through the phone when you're on the line. Let's go to Roldy in Bayshore. Roldy, what's happening?
Good morning, Lance. It's good to hear your voice on the on air today.
It's good to hear from you, Roldy. Appreciate that. How's everything? What's your
name? Can't complain. I'm just so excited, you know. I have a couple of guys at my dealership that are Cowboys fan. It felt good to just let them know that you got weaker and then the Giants got stronger within a day. I'm excited about this signing. You know, I said it all along. We need to hit the free agency, going after, you know, offensive linemen, guards in particular. You know, getting Jennings was a good signing. It solidified the running back position, which was very, very weak last year. I'm so excited and happy about that. But we still got work to be done, though. We still got to, you know, go out there and continue signing. We still need a center. We still need a tight end through a free agency because hopefully, you know, there's still availability there with Andrew Corliss because I would like to have, you know, him on our team. I think he'll fit well with McAdoo, being that he knows McAdoo's system.
And I don't think you'll have to spend a great deal of money for him.
Exactly.
So that's why
exactly.
That would make sense on the surface.
Exactly. And, you know, like I said, you know, I'm happy about the signing, but we still got to get that center. We still got to get that tight end through free agency. Re-sign Beeson and Tuck. And I'm happy with the way our safeties are looking. You know, if we take care of our business in the free agency now, we could just concentrate on the draft. If we don't get a wide receiver through free agency, then our focus will be on cornerback position, the wide receiver position, you know, within the first two rounds. And, you know, maybe, you know, if we still need to, you know, solidify our offensive line, maybe get a offensive lineman in the third round or a linebacker in the draft. I just feel, you know, very happy and comfortable with the way that the Giants are pursuing the free agency at this particular moment. Could you imagine, you know, once the season starts, you have Will Hill, you have Antoine Roe, you have Stevie Brown, and assuming we draft a first-round cornerback, you know, could you imagine what type of secondary and defense the Giants can have? I'm just very excited with what Jerry Reese is doing right now. And I just want to thank you for taking my call. Thank you for being on air today. We missed you on air. And let's go to the Giants.
Appreciate that, Roldy. Thanks so much. And by the way, I'll be back tomorrow morning, too. So we'll continue this conversation at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Thursday as well. So if we can't get to your phone calls, we don't address your tweets, we will be able to carry this over to tomorrow, and hopefully the Giants will have some more news to report, and we'll continue to get you updated on that. In terms of some of the things that Roldy threw out regarding the depth in the secondary, that's one of the reasons why Ryan Mundy headed to the Bears. I mean, at this point, how many safeties can you keep? So they're in a very good position with Roland Hill locked in, and then Stevie Brown, assuming that he can return to even half of the production that he brought to the table in 2012. You can't expect the interceptions to repeat themselves because interceptions is a very fluky stat. But he knows the system. He's a guy that can create plays on special teams, and he's going to be very motivated to prove himself, especially coming off the injury. And then at the corner spot right now, you know, that's where certainly you'd like to see the Giants add some more depth because you have Prince, reports that Tremaine McBride will come back after that. Not a great deal of depth. So I think that the Giants, via the draft or maybe another seasoned veteran, need to look into things. I know there was another report that was circulating multiple NFL insiders that perhaps the Giants would take a look at Tracy Porter, who's a veteran corner who's been with the Broncos and the Raiders. That's another name I had been hearing about, just to throw out and address some of those reports. 201-939-4513. Oh, we're hearing from the usual suspects this morning. We heard from Len. We heard from Roldy. What is Big Blue Kickoff Live without Shakes in Baltimore? Shakes, what is happening, my friend?
Ooh, good intro.
Hey, we try to dial it up for you, Shakes. We set the bar high, but you also got to bring your A-game this morning. And I don't want to hear any low-key Debbie Downer type of sentiment. So you've got to amp it up this morning.
It ain't no Debbie Downer, man. I'm very, very, very excited about what Jerry Reese did yesterday.
If Jerry Rice was the GM, that would be interesting.
Oh, man, Jerry Rice. You know what, man? He could be a very good GM the way that he did that little draft on the Pro Bowl. But I don't even want to talk about Jerry Rice right now.
Well, I'm glad you're steering the conversation back to normalcy. I was afraid this was going to go in a place that I didn't want to really head to. So thank you.
No problem, man. But here's the thing, man. Like everybody's saying, it's a head scratcher with Schofield. I don't know what that really is about. You know, maybe that's, you know, death and special teams. I don't know, because he hasn't really played much. I mean, 7 tackles last year is not very impressive. So I'm a little scratching my head about that. But, man, Schwartz and Jennings, they were the guys that we was talking about and we wanted. So they went out there and got him. Happy about that. Here's the thing, y'all. I'm looking at how Ware got released, man, and I was saying it on Twitter yesterday, like, I can't help but to catch a little goosebump just thinking about the possibility of DeMarcus Ware could possibly be a Giant. I mean, he's free, you know what I mean? So I don't know how much he would cost to bring
in. He cost a lot of money.
I'm thinking it's a lot of money. But I'm looking at just – on the field-wise, like, if he's next to J.B., John Beeson, oh, my gosh, that's the linebacker core that I yearn for. You know, that I've been screaming for, 7 years about, you know what I mean? Like, man, that takes you back to LT days if we can get Ware and Beeson on the same linebacker core.
Keep this in mind. With respect to DeMarcus Ware, Shakes, he's more effective as a linebacker out of a 3-4, not necessarily a 4-3. Remember, the Cowboys switched schemes. He was moved to defensive end of the 4-3, and he was a linebacker in the 3-4. So I don't know necessarily if you'd bring him in and he would transition beautifully to an outside linebacker spot. I think if you brought him in the Giants system, he'd have to play defensive end, which is not necessarily a bad thing, but from what I'm reading, from what I'm hearing, I think Ware wants to get back to his linebacker spot.
Right. Okay. All right. Now, this is a question for you. If it was a possibility, if both of them wanted to come to New York, okay, but you only can sign one, who would you sign? And it's between DeMarcus Ware and Julius Peppers.
Well, I'd go with DeMarcus Ware. I think Ware has more gas in the tank at this point. Julius Peppers also is a little bit up there in terms of age, and that's why the Bears are looking for some younger pass rushers. So if I had to choose between the two, I would take DeMarcus Ware. Plus, DeMarcus Ware also has familiarity within the division, so that's an added bonus.
Yeah, I agree with you. And this is the last thing I'm going to talk about. I really want Nick's back, okay? But I'm going to say, okay, fine. We're not going to bring him back. I think that we short on a number one wide receiver. Even if, and I want Jacoby Jones to come to New York. I really do, because I love the speed. At first, I wasn't really too high on bringing him in, but, yeah, I want Jacoby Jones. But that's what I'm saying. Even if we bring Jacoby Jones, we still going to be short a true number one wide receiver. And people are saying that Evans is not a number one. They're saying he's a slot guy. Well, at least one guy told me that on Twitter. And, I mean, he got the body type of Plex and Benson Jackson, so I don't really see him as a slot guy. But I like Evans as a true number one receiver. Like, if we go for a true number one, like, I think it's not a lot of true number ones in the draft. I mean, it's very few. I mean, wide receivers are very deep in this draft, but I think true number one is very limited.
Well, so, outside of Sammy Watkins, I think you bring up a good point. And Shakes, appreciate the phone call, and I like the optimism that you brought to the table this morning. So that is certainly a positive. He was referring to, in case you lost Shakes in translation, was Mike Evans, the wide receiver out of Texas A&M, and whether or not he would translate to being an outside guy versus a slot guy. He is certainly a highly ranked wide receiver that's coming out within this draft class, and I'm certain that a lot of teams are showing a great deal of interest. But before the Giants start to think about who they may want to target at the receiver spot in the draft, remember, there hasn't been a great deal of movement at the receiver spot, and there's guys out there that I think can come in and produce, but the money's got to be right. You're not just going to throw money at somebody just because you have a wide receiver need. James Jones appealing. Why? Because of, again, the Ben McAdoo connection. He's a deep threat. He'll stretch the field. And he's been very productive year in and year out for the Green Bay Packers. Decker, to me, benefited tremendously from Peyton Manning. It would be very interesting to see Decker in another system. Akeem Nicks. Giants fans know what Akeem Nicks has to offer. Outside of that, there's not a great deal of depth, but there are a few options. Julian Edelman, it looks like he's going to test the market because it doesn't appear that the Patriots are going to bring him back. But Edelman is a slot guy. How many slot wide receivers do the Giants need? You've got Cruz, you've got Jernigan. To me, that would be overkill. If anything, you need somebody on the outside to add some depth in the event that you do lose Akeem Nicks. Let's head back to the lines, and we go to Tim in Minneapolis. Tim, what's happening?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Do well, Tim. What you got?
Not much. I'm just at work stealing, you know, listening to you guys. I wanted to ask you, first of all, I think the running back signing that we just had is cool, but I don't think it's a slam dunk. I just think that Giants fans were so just, you know, fed up with the inconsistency and the production that we didn't expect get, that we expected to get, that just to have a guy who seems like he's kind of consistent or whatever, you know, they're like, woohoo, but, you know, I still think he's middle of the pack. I still think that we should be trying to improve at that position or whatever. But how do you feel about Tuck going to the Raiders? I mean, I think that if Tuck is going to leave us, I like the fact that he's probably going to end up somewhere where he can't come back to hurt us, because I still think he's got gas in the tank.
Well, he showed that last season. I mean, right now that's pure speculation, so we don't know if Tuck is going to go elsewhere, and I think the Giants are still very much in the mix. Tuck right now is just testing his options.
He's visiting right now, because I'm looking at it on NFL.com or whatever. But, personally, I feel like if we can get Tuck back at a good number, and then if we can go and get Peppers at a good number, let's do it. Like, let's do it. You know, that's just how I feel. But, yeah, that's pretty much all I got this morning. What do you eat for breakfast, man?
What I eat for breakfast? I do appreciate the phone call. I've actually, to be honest with you, did not have an opportunity to eat breakfast. I was on the air late last night. I got very little sleep, and then I came here. So I am not having much time to get in a meal. I think that will be priority number one once I wrap up this morning show. So unfortunately, I can't give you any colorful details to what breakfast had to offer me because I haven't had breakfast yet. I've had a few beverages. Other than that, nothing more of substance. 201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Let's head back to the lines. We've got Anthony in Phoenix. Anthony, welcome to the program. What you got?
Morning, Lance. How are you? Welcome back to the show.
Appreciate that, Anthony. Doing well. How about yourself? What you got?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm really excited. I've been tweeting back and forth with all these guys online about the signings. Hopefully, we get all this done. They're not coming to New York to get a pizza. You know, they're coming there to sign on the line. I've been looking at their tweeting pages and tweeting them back and forth also, and they're looking forward to it. Jennings is looking forward to it. Schwartz and Schofield. And you know what? There's a lot of guys down on Schofield. But I live here in Phoenix. Okay, I've been to the Cardinal Stadium. I was a season ticket. Schofield is solid. He's when he's healthy, he's solid. okay? And Schofield is a good signing. And it's not about the $8 million, guys. It's about what's guaranteed money.
Correct. That's a great point. Great point, Anthony. You hit it right on the nose. It's not because a lot of guys don't play out the duration of their contracts, and whatever's reported, I know it's not necessarily lengthy, but you're right. It's all about the guaranteed money. That's the key.
Yeah, when you take a look at Stevie Brown's contract, okay, everybody's upset $4 million. He's only guaranteed $1.25 million, I think. So, you know, Stevie Brown is a bargain at that price. You know, he gave us, what, 8 interceptions the first year and 12 the year before? He can't, you know, injuries are, you know, something that keeps him out. We're glad to have Stevie Brown back. And Snead, oh, this is wonderful. His loyalty, guys, you gotta tip your hat to Snead. I'm sorry. He worked that out with Jerry, taking that pay cut. That's wonderful. What a true giant. Snead is true blue. There's no doubt about it. And thanks to Brown, too. Brown, too, the kicker. He also reworked his contract. Those are great signings. Now, Lance, I want to talk to you about Dietrich Smith. What do you think our chances are? Is he going to come into New York and see?
Well, I think that the Giants will probably explore their options regarding him. I think he's a solid center. He comes from a good system. Once again, ties to Ben McAdoo with the Green Bay Packers. It really is going to depend on what type of number it would take to bring him in. I think that the Giants are certainly going to be in the mix, as will other centers that they're going to take a look at. But if they have enough cap space and they feel that he could be the guy that could fill the void left behind by David Boss, they're certainly in the mix. But don't forget and don't overlook, as I mentioned early in the show, Anthony, Kevin Booth is still an option. And I know that he's a guy that is from the old regime and a lot of Giants fans want to see some new blood, but Booth, to me, still has a tremendous amount of value because you can move him around at multiple positions. And think about if they didn't have Booth on the roster last season, they would have been in even a far worser position because they would have had no one to plug in at center or guard when a lot of guys went down.
Yeah, excellent. And I'm really excited about Jones coming in because, you know what, he's a kickoff return guy also. So if we can get him at a reasonable price, that'll be a nice little fit there for the Giants. I know he's not a number one, okay? We don't expect that. But you know what? Jones would be a nice little signing.
Well, Anthony, he's a game changer, and that's what makes him very appealing. And he's not just necessarily a game changer in the receiving game, but in special teams. He draws attention, and they haven't had a return guy like that outside of maybe David Wilson recently who can draw that much attention. So that would be a big boost if they can get a deal done.
Yeah, nice talking to you, Lance. Enjoy the show.
Appreciate it, Anthony. Thanks so much for weighing in. One thing that I do want to clarify that Anthony brought up in terms of Chris Snead reportedly reworking his contract. Remember, Giants have not officially said anything about that, nor do they usually comment on restructuring of contracts. But there have been reports out there. And as far as Josh Brown is concerned, Josh Brown was a free agent. There wasn't really anything to rework. They had to re-sign him. And that is official, as well as Stevie Brown. All right, let's try to take at least one more call before we wrap things up. Alan is in Miami. Alan, welcome to the program. What you got?
Know what's the bigger story, you coming back to the show or Phil Jackson coming back to the Knicks? I mean,
wow,
guys,
I mean, to be put in the same category as Phil Jackson, I tell you, that's really putting me up on a pedestal.
How are you?
Doing well. How's everything with you?
Pretty good. A couple of things. I just, going back to a caller, and it threw me off, but I was really upset when I heard it, you know, that the Giants need a true number one. Who was the number one for Seattle Seahawks last year? Who was the number one for the Baltimore Ravens the year before? You know what I mean? Like, you don't need a true number one receiver. And you look at the teams that have the big guy, the Calvin Johnson, the AJ Greens of the world, and they don't really go that far. So I think, you know, I'd rather have three average, above average receivers than have that one big guy that everybody targets.
Well, if you can spread the wealth, Alan, it can work out that way. I would make the argument that I think Golden Tate did establish himself as Seattle's number one receiver, but that doesn't mean that you would put him as the top.
But he's not a number one. He's not a top 20 guy in the league.
And I'll give you that. 20. I think he's slowly emerging, though. He's becoming a big playmaker because, remember, he has value as a special teamer, and that a lot of receivers don't bring to the table. So that does give you an advantage if you do bring someone like that in.
Well, that's why I would rather, instead of going after a guy or trying to draft a guy so high, I'd rather sign both James Jones and Jacoby Jones and bring them in because, you know, James Jones knows the system for the most part. And again, Jacoby, I mean, he runs. I was watching NFL films one day and you know, Harbaugh brings him to the side. He says, "Hey, I need you to bring this back for me." And he ran it for a touchdown. I mean, that's just the type of speed and the ability that he has. And we haven't had a guy to return kicks that well since Dominique Hickson. and obviously he's been injured or whatever. Another 2 points about Schofield. I think a lot of people are forgetting, and yesterday I was a little perplexed, and I actually did real research, and the most obvious research is looking at the depth chart of the Seahawks. You have Bobby Wagner, Malcolm Smith, Bruce Irwin. When was this kid going to get off the field?
Oh, they had a tremendous amount of depth. No, you're 100% right,
Alan. Exactly. So when is he going to get on the field? And plus, he was released by Arizona late in training camp. So same thing as you mentioned with Adrian Robinson earlier, you know, coming in late, being behind the eight ball, knowing the system, not getting everything 100%. You know, that was part of it.
Seattle's defense, and Alan, I'll let you continue. I just want to make one more point and piggyback off of what you said. Seattle's defense was so deep that even taking it further than the linebacker situation, Alan, at defensive end, they had Michael Bennett and Cliff Averill serve as situational pass rushers. Those two guys would be starters, every down starters on any other team in the NFL. Seattle had the luxury to bring them in for just pass rushing situations. That's how deep that depth chart was.
And you also look at just his experience. I mean, being around that program for the last year, I mean, the fact that they won a championship. But, you know, you see Russell Wilson every day. Every day is a championship day. So for Schofield to be in that situation every day and understand what it takes to really give 100%, I think he's going to bring in some good experience and hopefully a little bit of leadership as well to this team. The last point I'll make is, well, 2 points, sorry. I really like Lewin. I really like Lewin from Lewan from Michigan. And I hear all these callers, you know, with this crazy obsession about taking a quarterback in the first round. And I look at our roster now, I just don't understand it. Secondary was one of our strongest points on the defense on the team last year. I don't see why you would go on a first round to go take a guy when you have Taylor Lewan probably sitting there at 12.
Well, but I think it really depends on what they do the rest of free agency. For example, if they add another offensive lineman or two, I don't know if you then need to invest in a young guy unless you just bring in a great deal of seasoned veterans and you want to look ahead to the future. You're right. The secondary, I think some players stepped up like Tremaine McBride, but if you look at the depth chart, Alan, there's not a great deal behind the McBrides and the Amukamaras of the world. They need somebody.
I like Holsley, too. I like, don't sleep on Holsley. I mean, I know he's been in and out, but I feel like they've given so much opportunity for Jaquan Williams. I mean, they've kind of, you know, they're kind of still in bed with Holsley as well, and I like Holsley. Holsley can be a great nickel cornerback for us, and he can come in, and if you're not expecting him to play, you know, if you can kind of split him and McBride sometimes, you're not expecting him to play 60 snaps a game, I think he can help us.
Well, here's what I'll say, Alan. McBride and Holsley, I think, are productive players, but the one common trait that the two have, they lack size. And in this league, knowing the big-time receivers that you're going up against in the division, such as the Dez Bryants, the Pierre Garçons, the Riley Coopers, the Jeremy Maclins, the DeSean Jacksons, you need a guy that has a little bit of size and presence. And if a guy like Justin Gilbert is sitting there at 12, I think he meets that criteria where the Giants really need to think twice before they pass over a guy like that.
And last one, any chance of bringing Jim Fortle back on a cheaper rate? Or?
I think that's certainly a possibility. And he's another guy that tends to get overlooked. And he also had value before he got hurt. If they don't go out and spend a great deal of more money to address the offensive line, Cordell and Booth, to me, are valued players that are not going to cost you a great deal of money.
Yeah,
those,
absolutely,
to me, make a lot of sense. I think that's a great point.
Well, listen, enjoy your New York press conference. You know, welcome back.
Thanks so much,
and,
Alan.
Know, we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. Good talking with Alan in Miami. All right, we're going to close out the program with one more call. And if I didn't address everybody's tweets, a number of you are bringing great stuff to the table. When we get off the air, I will certainly try to get back to as many of those tweets as humanly possible. Even while we're off the air, feel free to chime in on the conversation with me at Lance Meadow. One word, last name, M-E-D-O-W. And you can use hashtag Giants Chat so that fellow Giants fans can also chime in. Who better to end the program off with than Dave in Rochester? Dave, what's happening?
What's up, baby? Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
A quick question. Rashad Jennings is a good choice, I think, and I hope you guys didn't address this, but why not, two questions. Why not Ben Tate over Rashad Jennings? I think they had almost identical years last year. I know Jennings is a little taller than Tate, but Tate has more yards in 3 years than Jennings has in his 4 years, is my question number one. Number two, why Stevie Brown 1 year, $4 million? Doesn't that seem a little high for just a one-year contract? Let me get your opinion.
Keep this in mind, Dave. All the numbers that you're reading about are, first of all, reportedly. The Giants haven't made any official statements about the finances, and as one of our previous callers, Anthony in Phoenix, brought up, you've got to consider the guaranteed money. Don't get caught so much in the total amount of money, because more often than not, the players don't even see the full length of the contract. So I wouldn't get too worked up about the financial aspect. To me, it's a statement opportunity, a statement year for Stevie Brown to prove that he can get back to full force. Listen, they gave a one-year deal to Terrell Thomas, and he thrived. He took full advantage of that.
Right.
Now Stevie Brown is in a similar position that Terrell Thomas was in. And if you get great value off of a one-year deal and whatever the numbers are, which clearly is not big according to what other corners have got it, to me, I still think it could turn out to great value considering you're also getting him to contribute on special teams. Regarding Rashad Jennings versus Ben Tate, the reason why Jennings hasn't had a lot of carries, keep in mind, Dave, he hasn't been a starter. Last season, he filled in for Darren McFadden. Prior to that, he was a backup to Maurice Jones-Drew. So the appeal that Jennings has versus a guy like Ben Tate, there's not as much mileage on his legs. Number two, Jennings appeals as a receiver out of the backfield, and he's just as tough to me as a guy like Ben Tate. If you watch some film, Jennings this past season with Oakland, he wasn't a guy that was just running off the edge. He was going up the gut, and he was carrying some defenders with him. So don't overlook the fact that, yeah, Jennings may not be this brick wall, and he may not be built like a goal line back. He still can be a presence. Ben Tate's appealing, don't get me wrong, but Ben Tate is now looking to cash in. He's been playing in the shadow of Arian Foster all this time, and he is going to get a big deal from a team that doesn't address it via the draft or misses out on all their other options. So I think from a financial perspective, you save a little by going after Jennings, and to me, you get a little bit more versatility.
And then with Hillis on board, maybe he can be that extra punch.
Well, in this day and age, as you know, Dave, you cannot get away with just having one featured back, specifically the Giants. And if you look based on history, the Giants have thrived when they've had a three-headed monster. So it bodes well for the Giants if they have different running backs that bring a different style of play to the table. Plus, you also need insurance for David Wilson because he's still a wild card.
Gotcha. All right, brother. Thanks a lot.
Wait a minute. No comedic material this morning? I'm a little disappointed. You know, you stick to the X's and O's. This is all you give us this morning? No Paul DeTino pants reference? No John Schmelk teaser? I mean, this is a huge disappointment. I'm sorry.
I know. I am. I do got some Schmelk material, but, the mood seems it's very serious today. The past couple of days, it's business, and I kind of wanted to keep it that way. So,
all right. Well, I'm telling you one thing, Dave. If you call in tomorrow, and appreciate the phone call, always good hearing from Dave in Rochester. If you call in tomorrow, I expect you to go back to the drawing board tonight and come back with some good material. Yes, it is a serious conversation, and it always is. But we're allowed to keep it lively. We're allowed to keep things loose. And you should be excited as a Giant fan because it's the start of free agency. And this is where your team can start to do the heavy lifting as they try to get the roster in shape for this coming season. And the Giants have been aggressive based on the reports. Nothing official yet, but just to review once again, the three reported players that are going to be wearing big blue uniforms: O'Brien Schofield, former Seahawks linebacker, Jeff Schwartz, the Kansas City Chiefs offensive lineman, and Rashad Jennings, the Raiders running back. The officials: Stevie Brown, Josh Brown re-signed, and David Boss has been cut. Great callers as usual. Great stuff on Twitter. I'll continue to answer most of your questions off the air. I'll be back tomorrow morning, 9:30 a.m. Eastern. Hope you'll join me then as we'll continue the conversation regarding NFL free agency and what type of moves you can expect from the New York Giants. Lance Meadows signing off here on Big Blue Kickoff Live. Stay locked to Giants.com for all the latest news revolving around the team. Have a good one.